SuperTube is brought to you by SuperPicks. Play for free, win for real.
It's been a couple of weeks. We haven't been on air because we've been giving you guys at home a chance to catch up with what's happening in and around the world of football. And of course, the month of May is a big one when it comes to football because the leagues around the globe are wrapping up. And we know what's happening in La Liga. So I guess congratulations to Real Madrid once again.
Can you put more bass in your voice?
I refuse. But in the Premier League, in the DStv Premier, well,
I was about to say Sundowns is
maybe not
have
even
you.
Live. Anyway, now they were going to have me. So congratulations to Mamelodi Sundowns again for being champions once again for a first time in a row and all the other good things they're going to tell you about.
Coming out
no hate whatsoever.
Can we congratulate them for next season as well, really?
We might as well.
Congratulations,
we might as well for next season. But some cup competitions, some league titles as well over in Europe, not yet wrapped up, so we'll touch on that in a fair bit. But let me go straight into introducing who's around the table today on SuperTube, powered by SuperPicks. We've got Lemmy Loco.
There
it is. We've got Info. Info next to him.
Hey,
Info. Yeah. Welcome back to the show.
Who's information am I giving?
To my left, we've got Andy Mahambayetwa.
I'm not lying.
And then the Michelle of the group.
I was here, Beyonce.
No, that was definitely.
Okay. It's the bye bye for me.
It's the bye bye. Guys, welcome back to the show. Very quickly, Temba. Since the last time we saw you, a month and a bit.
Month and some change.
What have you been up to? I know the DDC is wrapping up very soon. Getting pretty excited.
Yeah, pretty exciting, man. I have to mention the fact that since the last time we were here, I was doing 5 kilometer runs. I'm doing 11 kilometer runs. Quickly moving forward to the DDC. Two more games left. We are in point is true. You can join me on a brisk walk.
Like really.
Just had to throw it in there. Anyway, two more games left of this one. We are heading into match week 28 this weekend, and there's two teams that are vying for the title. You've got SuperSport United, 5-game winning run, unbeaten, arguably the most informed side in the Reserve League right now. But top of the log is the man from the Windlands in Coach Ivan Idolas' side. They won again this weekend. Very good win as well for them. Pirates fans, Lemmy, I'm looking at you, my friend.
I saw the knives flying through your glasses. Yeah, I know.
As keys, look, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Pirates got a lot of wins this season, 8 to be exact, equaling the DDC record. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Just for the DDC, two more rounds of matches.
Yeah. And starting this weekend.
Stellenbosch and Superport that are left in the running.
Yes. Sir.
Okay. All right. The Telkom Netball League is back, and you were out in Durban, gallivanting instead of working.
How did that go?
Like what? No, how did it work? It was a power week. Games every single day. For the week, I think the big thing from there is TNL is back and the fans are back too. So it was absolutely electrifying in that venue. I can't even describe it in words. We could hardly hear ourselves think. It was amazing to have everybody back there. And I think the big thing from the Power Week is obviously Jaguars. We have a Mamelodi Sundowns in TNL. Jaguars have won 5 titles back to back. And the last time they lost to any side except the Stings was back in 2017, and it happened now during the Power Week. They lost to the Gauteng Fireballs in the Gauteng Derby. So that was the big thing. You know, the Jaguars are actually beatable, a side that's contested every single final in that competition since it began in 2014. Wow. So it just tells you of the dominance. And I think the big thing is the first time they're without their coach. The coach that started with them in 2014, this season was not on the bench, and I think that was a big telling factor. There's a new rule that's been introduced to sort of phase in other coaches, and that means you know, once you've served your term, then you know you kind of
so it's a change
step
of
aside. Yeah.
JCV Premiership, a bit of an anti-climax, I guess it's been for the whole season because we knew the champions.
Is it anti-climax that people at Close Up would beat to differ?
No, I mean, I'm sure they would, but
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
It's a 16-team league,
but
not a one-team league.
But here's the thing, when it comes to the DStv Premiership, I think more than anything, it's about how far can Mamelodi Sundowns push it every single season? Mm. How far can they take it in terms of points accumulated in a single season? So for them, it's about breaking their own record.
Yeah.
But for everyone else, I mean, for Royal AM, they've been the dark horse and literally come out and they've set the house on fire and it's been absolutely exciting. So now we're looking at the top two finish, who is going to grab that second CAF Champions League spot. It is, of course, between Royal AM, Cape Town City. Kaizer Chiefs Pirates, kind of in there. So we shall see what's going to happen there. There's also what is happening at the very bottom. You've got like five teams that are trying their level best to remain in the DStv Premiership, but also Baroka, it's looking really good for them. So we're hoping that with the rest, it will continue. But then, when you move to GLAAD Africa Championship, it is a two-horse race at the top. You've got Richards Bay, you've got my alma mater. But for everybody, it's like, can Richards Bay do it this season?
Yeah.
Last season, they were like 9 points clear, and then everything fell apart at this stage of the competition. Mm. So this time, everyone is just rooting for them. But at the very bottom, the sad fact of Jomo Cosmos being relegated.
Is it really sad?
It is.
Come on. Must just turn that into a basketball team or something. Try somewhere else. Soccer's not working out.
Something.
Come on, guys. I think it is still quite sad.
It is very sad for South African football. Let's not forget, not only is Jomo a legend of the game, he is a big scout when it comes to South African football. He has offered quite a lot to different teams over the years. So it is a sad day.
But I agree with him. Because it's owned by a legend then. Because, I mean, he should be doing better to get the team in a better position.
That's what I was going to add as well.
Let me re-establish
themselves, man. Maybe it's press the reset button.
Give him a chance. I don't know how many chances, but give him a chance to do that.
I guess.
The only team to ever be relegated, promoted, four times. So, put some respect on Jomo's name.
Sometimes you have to destroy in order to build.
Very quickly, let me just keep us up to date with what you've been up to. I know SuperPix has been keeping you quite busy.
Yes. It's finally launched in South Africa.
I
got a chance to join you on Fanbase, man. That was an amazing experience. You know, one thing that taught me is that the fans are always right, guys.
The
fans are always right. So that's been fantastic to see, you know, and obviously watching people get engaged with SuperPix and, you know, get their predictions right. That's been also awesome, man.
Yeah.
And he says his knees were knocking and
they were buckling like
he'll handle you.
Now you understand what we
100%. No, I'm putting respect on all your names.
Where do you go when you've given your all but you know you're not finished? You go to the next level. The 2021-22 Premier League, next level, on the one broadcaster that brings you unbeatable football.
So then in coming back, we decided that today's show, which is the first of many this month, because we'll be wrapping what's happening all around the globe, we are going to talk about game changers, some of the figures, maybe some teams, some players, some coaches that have really been making an impact this particular season. And we have to start with the Premier League because it is the most watched. And start somewhere mid-table, where a team like Newcastle United, before Eddie Howe came in, you know, could only dream of being. They were struggling. They were struggling heavy, and look at them now. Mm.
Look, I'll tell you how Eddie Howe did it. This is how he did it.
look, it's a run of 10 games.
Oh, my God. Yo, Temba.
I'm here all week, guys.
So dry. Where's the calendar?
Anyway, 10 games. 10 games unbeaten out of the 5th, that's 15, only losing to what, Liverpool, a very strong Liverpool side. So
by just a goal to nil.
But I think it's been that January transfer window has been crucial for the Magpies. They got in the likes of Kieran Trippier, they got real experience in that side. I think they spent £95 million in improving the squad, and I think they're the team on the up. Once you have money and resources and a very good coach, well, success is probably the mandate that is set out now. Expectations level now rise. I think they're 10th in the Premier League now, and probably going to survive relegation. I'm sure of that. I'm probably sure that.
Listen, if you are 10th and you're still struggling or fighting relegation, there's a problem.
Yeah. Newcastle over the last 4 years have been flirting with relegation for the first time in a long time. They are breathing a sigh of relief this season. So well done to them.
Is Eddie Howe though the answer? And I ask this because he's capable, 100% capable as a coach. But once those expectations and those ambitions go up a notch, is Eddie Howe going to be the man to take Newcastle United into Europe?
I think consistency at times is very, very key.
Yeah.
And it's something that's generally overlooked. But when you have a squad that is working and you have a coach that is working or a manager that is working, try and keep it as consistent as possible for as long as possible. Then you are able to build and get to see where your flaws are, where you need to reinforce, and then you can move forward. So I actually do think he is definitely the answer if they manage to keep the squad as it is.
Candy?
Oh, look, I think, Blasi, you were making a valid point, and that is when you have different goals, it's easy to sort of exceed what expectations people might have.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your primary objective was to save the team from relegation, that job is done, he's ticked the box. Next season, there's going to be a different weight of expectation. They've seen what he can do now. They've seen how the team can perform and then dig themselves out of, you know, difficult positions. So the expectation is going to go up slightly.
Yeah.
And you might find then when there's a different objective in mind, he might not be, you know, the golden boy that he is now of the club, because the pressure becomes different. So for now, yes, definitely the man. But I think we're going to start seeing next season maybe exactly what it is that the team can do and whether or not he still be, you know, delivering according to the expectations and standards.
Because the money's there. You mentioned that. The money's there, which means, okay, so now they've survived, they're safe, they are comfortable mid-table. Next season comes, the owners say, here's another $50 million to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want just squad members, we want marquee signings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he able to handle a
Darwin Nunez?
You know, like an international footballer now. Is he able to handle that? That's, you know, those things are going to come with I guess this consistency that we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. You know, he'll have to go through that transition of, okay, now we've kind of survived relegation, now we need to contend for the league. And his signings are going to be very important because we're going to get a better idea of what he's trying to do with the squad overall.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens that sometimes changing a coach at that stage would be very detrimental for the team. So it makes better sense for the team to keep the same coach and kind of grow into what they want to become. But also, again, you don't want to risk crumbling under the pressure after you've had such a great run at the end of this current season.
And only just one season.
Exactly.
Now all of a sudden,
now you're back in the slump. You know what I mean?
And you know what's also interesting? You mentioned he's going to be given a substantial budget for transfers. The pressure now will come on Eddie Howe in terms of, how can he handle the pressure? See, you guys said it was dry, but you can, anyway. What for me is going to be crucial, does he have power of veto on transfers? How much control does Eddie Howe have?
Yes, yes.
Who comes in, who goes out? I mean, there's issues around Kieran Clark, squad clearance. He needs to get rid of the deadwood and then introduce new players that are going to be Eddie Howe's team. And there's issues as well in the director, the director position. Question marks on who's to come in and fill that position. So a lot of power around. Is it all going to be centered around Eddie Howe?
But also, sorry, sometimes when you mention marquee signings, it's all good and well to have the big name players, but can they fit into the squad?
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Yeah. Can they fit into the squad? Are they able to integrate into what the coach wants at that particular moment in time, the philosophy of the club, and so on and so forth? So sometimes teams tend to want to sign these big names because it's great for marketing and we're going to sell jerseys and make money. But can you play the way we want you to play?
That's the question. And you know what? It's a question that I'm sure Devin Moyes was asked when he came back. When he came back to West Ham United, you know, because I guess the struggles at Manchester United, the team was too big, we understand. West Ham United comes back, it takes him little to no time to settle in, and now he's taken West Ham and made them a top, what, six, top seven team in England that is now trying to break into the Europa League final. So, with him and what he's done, it begs the question, are there some coaches who are just really comfortable at clubs where there's very little to no expectation?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, in soapies, there's that guy, there's the waiter that crosses the scene just so we can cut through the main characters. I think there's coaches that are those guys, you know. And I mean, that's an important role as well. Let's not look down on that role, because it's very hard to get a team out of a slump, get them motivated again, get them playing better. So there's people who specialize in that, and that's a very important role. But now if you want to break boundaries and now try contend, be competitive in leagues, in, you know, in cup games, you have to find better experienced coaches. And sometimes you're not that guy, and that's completely fine.
Yeah.
So not everyone can be a youth.
No.
Do you guys think the Man United thing came too early in his career? Because it's been at Everton for a long time.
I don't think it came too early in his career. I feel like
the weight was too heavy.
And that's exactly what I was saying. It shouldn't have happened to begin with. It's not that it came too early. It just, he did not fit the brand. Yeah. He was not supposed to be a coach that took over at a club like Man United. Mm. And I think that's what Demi said. There's certain people that are designated for certain roles.
Yeah.
That one was not for him. You should have let it go.
Kudos to the ambition.
Blame poor Fergie. Oh, that's the lad I want in my team.
I'm laughing at the waiter crossing. No, but then I mean, here he is on the cusp of making a Europa League final. I think they are down from the first leg.
Yeah.
They're trailing, right?
Yeah.
But anything can happen in the second leg. And if he gets there, and if they win it, then it's Champions League football.
Mm.
So Champions League football plus, let's say, a fifth or sixth place finish.
It's a pretty good season.
That's overachieving.
Yeah. Champions League football that your previous team cannot even do.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
But do you see how it puts things into context?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Like, your previous team cannot even get to Champions League, and here you are on the cusp of achieving that. So perhaps you are a good coach, you were just at the wrong place.
At the wrong place. At the wrong time.
Overachiever. And speaking of overachievers, Mo Salah. Over at Liverpool, I'm kidding. He's not an overachiever. He's not an overachiever. Okay, he's a superstar. He is a superstar and a bona fide superstar. Let's not lie. Yeah. And you know what he continues to do for Liverpool. And because I guess we Africans, we try and make the comparison between him and Sadio Mane, but taking nothing away from the two individuals, we're talking about Mo Salah right now, and he's constant. Yeah, he's constant sort of knocking on that exceptional door. Like, he's very comfortable as a superstar now. Mm. We know he's a world-class footballer. Mm. our director is talking about Ballon d'Or. I'm just like, no, not that door. He's knocking on some door, but not that door. But yeah, I mean, his performances for Liverpool, once again, exceptional. And it's brought them on the cusp once again of glory, both in England and in Europe. Mm, mm, mm.
I've got 90%.
But I think the big thing is consistency for me.
Yeah.
It's very easy to have one good season or even two.
Yeah.
And you start dipping, and then we'll see you again maybe, you know, two seasons later. Mo Salah for me has been consistent. He's been a dependable guy for the side, and even having, you know, great quality around him hasn't meant that there's been a dip in form, you know, for him at any stage. So that for me has been the key. He's been consistent, not just a guy that you depend on in certain games. Mm. Only rises to the occasion on big, you know, stages. But he's dependable, and that's commendable. The only good thing I have to say about Liverpool is the stage.
The funny thing is, it honestly feels like we are being like sort of pawns in our producer's little game. He keeps talking about Liverpool and this stat, Sadio Mane or Mo Salah, this number of assists, next is Trent, next is what's the other guy on the left?
No one cares about him.
Robertson. Apparently now, they're the three leading assist makers. Oh, wow. Let's talk about that. We don't want to. But it's fine. Wow. Timber. It is that. You know what? It is stats. And again, it speaks to the well-oiled machine, because they're not used to doing all of this.
Yeah, true.
They're not new.
And statistically, you look at his numbers, what, 22 goals in the season, 13 assists, and a lot of goal involvement. Mm. But to just echo Andy's sentiments, I think for me, the key to Salah's performance is his ability to stay fit and durable. Yeah. I mean, for five seasons, you don't score those goals if you're not playing consistently and you're fit. And I think the Liverpool medics and the physio team, hats off to them, how they keep those guys physically fit and raring to go. I mean, Virgil van Dijk suffered a long-term injury, came back, and he hasn't missed a beat.
Like a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I mean, there was a point where I looked at Mo Salah, I was like, very selfish player.
Yeah.
But he has actually evolved, and he's more involved in creating opportunities for the team as well. Mm. So I will concede on that, because I know when I had
only
him,
one.
He was selfish.
The
only when he sees that he's got no option anymore.
It's a lot of assists, though. You'll give him that. It's a lot of assists.
Very quickly, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
How close is Mo Salah to that door?
I think he's an amazing player. We can't take that away from him. But the Ballon d'Or is one title that needs to be thoroughly contended for, and you're competing against the best of the best in the world. Not to say that he's not, but there's players that have had better runs that are in better positions to contend for the Ballon d'Or.
He doesn't even have the AFCON trophy.
Oh wait, but okay, right.
He's even the best.
So
African
then, what happens if Mane, AFCON champion, Liverpool go and win the quadruple?
Then he's in with a chance.
With a chance, or is he the front runner?
No, he's in with a chance.
Yeah.
No, let's not forget, guys. Let's not forget. The Ballon d'Or is not for us. Let's not forget.
Okay.
There is just that's always hanging
around.
Yeah.
That invisible feeling.
So he's in with a chance.
Okay. Let's leave it there. Because we're moving to Spain, where, Real Madrid have been crowned champions. But some people would say that the team of the year, as in 2022, up until this point, is Barcelona, because of the improvements that they've made.
Yes, they've
been up and down in recent times in terms of form, but going from 9th to 2nd under the watch of the former general in Xavi.
But also, guys, like, if you are the fastest slow learner in the draft, congratulations. Come on, you're the best slow learner.
Congratulations,
let's give Madrid their flowers. Not because I'm a Madrid supporter.
We'll give Madrid their flowers.
But I mean, Barcelona's done great. We're not going to take that away. Xavi came in and there was very tangible change in him taking up his position.
Yeah.
And you can see that it's a man with a plan. It's a man that kind of knows how he wants to structure like his end team.
Yeah.
You know, because he's still getting into it, you know.
The tikka-taka is bad.
Yeah. So
but
I mean,
slow learning.
But it's a slow burn.
But it's
back. But any quality team, as it should be with any quality team, you don't want to get like bombarded with signings and then you're a season later like, oh, this was the worst signing we've ever had.
Yeah.
And.
But here's the thing, right? People tend to compare the Barcelona of old to the Barcelona now, forgetting one thing. You had that Barcelona squad playing together for the longest time. So they got to achieve. They were consistent because they knew each other. That old guard, it went. Now you needed to literally rebuild. And that's what Xavi is doing. And I'm liking the fact that he's bringing in the old Barcelona way of play, which is the tiki-taka. And he's doing that with a young squad. So when they click...
I remember a certain lady coming on here the last time and mentioning that the key to Barcelona's resurgence would be reverting back to their identity, which they had lost over a period of time. And the lady is back now on Super Tube and saying, I told you so. This came as no surprise. This conversation was held a while ago, and then I think I'm glad that they've reverted back to what works for them.
Exactly.
And then hopefully, you know, we'll start seeing the Barcelona of old, because it was a team with no identity. It's very difficult to get results if you don't really know your style of play and you don't know what you're doing. And then that's what Xavi has brought to this team.
And within the development structures, that's what you are taught from Abu Under 9 when you play at Barcelona from a development way. The Barcelona way of play is building up from the back, and you know what I mean? So if you are now going to get, from having learned that at development, you now get to first team, and that you yourself don't understand, we are literally going to be running around like headless chickens. And that's what had been happening.
I think the key as well for Barcelona is the transfer strategy. They've traditionally never been a team that goes out and buys stars to fit into a system. The players fit are picked in order for the system, and it's usually one or two
built in.
One or two, like Zlatan, he'll come in and sort of lead the line.
When they did, they didn't move away from that, what you're mentioning, they ended up spending 150 million on Coutinho.
Dembélé continue, and it didn't work. So I think that's been key to go back and say, let's look at what's happening at La Masia and let's build from there. Astute signings in Aubameyang on a free, getting Traore as well as Ferran Torres from Manchester City. I think that's revived their front three, and good days for Barca. Hey?
Before we leave Spain, we have to touch on the Don Benz himself.
Listen,
if you've got the game off the pitch, you got to supplement it with the game on the pitch. And I don't think there's a man right now in the game who's sourced off the pitch sourcing on.
Like my is my distant cousin.
Very distant.
But
Spain distant.
And I guess when you talk about him and how he's performing, you have to talk about how he wasn't underperforming, but he had to sort of take the back seat and allow Ronaldo to flourish. But the minute that Ronaldo is not in the picture, the man has got assists, the man has got goals, and not just any goals. He's got a number of really crucial goals for Real Madrid this season alone.
I mean, it says a lot about when you lead the forwards of any kind of team. It's not just tenacity in your own individual play. You need to inspire everybody else in the forward team to say, look, guys, we're down by two, we're down by three, but we can still do this. And the amazing thing with Benzema is that first goal he gets really ignites like a landslide for Madrid. You know what I mean? So just opening those floodgates, and I mean, we're anxious now, you know, because we're like, oh, okay, like, are they going to perform great? So we know that they won the league already, but you kind of get
16 points, mind you.
Yeah, 16 points. But you then kind of get a bit anxious, is that, okay, now that we said Barcelona is getting their footing again, is that going to be effective in the next season? Is it going to be like as wonderful as we've seen it now? But we can't take away from the fact that you need someone like Benzema in a team like Madrid to make sure. Because, I mean, Vinicius came in, he fit in like a glove, but you can see the combo that his role was, it's sort of like tailor-made for Benzema.
Yeah.
You know, in as much as he's getting his own goals, but it's sort of like tailor-made. On the right wing, it's a bit debatable. Rodrigo's doing great for himself. Asensio, it's kind of like on and off. But we know from the left flank, from the left wing, definitely that combo is working. So Benzema is crucial in terms of the club morale, like in terms of putting the fire back into the team, even when they 2-3, they've got the best comebacks in the Champions League.
So annoying.
You know what I mean?
So annoying.
So sour match.
And I'm glad you go there. I'm glad you're talking about the Champions League and the comebacks, because this very evening, people are waiting to see if Madrid have got it in them yet again, because they're up against a City side which, if we're being honest, in the first leg should have buried the game. They didn't. That gave Madrid the second win. So here we are. What's the score? 4-3. 4-3 after the first leg.
4-3, yeah.
So, very quick prediction. Very quick. Starting with you, Levy. Are Madrid going through?
100%.
No.
No.
It's a no from me.
Just to be controversial, it's a yes from me.
Okay. So, it's 3-2 here on this table. Mm. It's 4-3 on the pitch.
Here we go.
Ahead of kickoff. So, it's all down. It's all down to Madrid, man. Let's see what happens as Real Madrid look to take apart Manchester City. Watch out, though. City are creating chances for fun. So it's going to be good fun. It's going to be good fun.
Karim,
all I want is for both teams to really just hammer each other, man.
Yeah. I agree. Give us a great
But you see the thing with City, right? One thing we've seen with City is that if when they lose to only the best. And they are playing the best.
Who's the best?
Oh,
of what?
Madrid.
Madrid.
But you Mbappe just said every other team in La Liga.
But he just said that every other team is a slow learner. So if you best in slow learners, did you best in?
City fails at one thing, right? They create a lot of chances and they miss.
Don't
Yeah, no, I'm not holding. I'm not holding. They create a lot of chances, but they don't take them. So that's why you give you what they did wrong is that you give rope to a Madrid to come back into the game, and that's where you make the mistake. You don't give.
Not tonight.
But they've learned from it.
Not tonight.
At the Bernabeu, after they've won the league.
But is it maybe not a reason why they're going for Haaland so hard? Talk that personal terms have been agreed that they don't have that out and out striker, that Benzema version of theirs. Maybe they've addressed that.
Do they really need one?
That's the question.
Haaland gets you goals.
That's the question. The answers you'll be finding on your own channel this very evening. It is Real Madrid up against Manchester City at the Santiago Bernabeu. UEFA Champions League football. It's live.
Who's ready for another chunk of Champions League?
UEFA Champions League on SuperSport.
Super True, powered by SuperPicks. It's that time of the show where we talk about SuperPicks because we do know that it's live in the country now, the country being South Africa, of course. And we do know this is the most important thing, that you play for free
and you win for real.
You win for real. Imagine,
win for real.
Winning $1 million has never been that easy.
I mean,
you
true.
Know, just put nothing but get everything.
Okay.
It's finally live in South Africa. All you have to do is predict 6 scores correctly on www.superpicks.com, and you could win R1 million if you get all 6 correctly. But that's not just it, because there is a consolation prize. Whoever gets the closest scores still gets 30,000 rand, and this is weekly. So you win R1 million weekly. If you get the closest, you can still win 30,000 rand weekly. And it's as easy as predicting the scores of 6 fixtures correctly. You don't have to put any money in. You play for free and win for real.
And it's very important to remind people, it's not a betting platform.
It's not
a predictor game.
Yes, it's a predictor game.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is correctly predict 6 fixtures, the scores of 6 fixtures, not who's going to win, who's going to lose.
Yeah.
The scores are very important, because that's how you get your hands on that $1 million.
This weekend, predict the scores of 6 soccer matches, and you could win R1 million for free. What's more, even if you miss the jackpot, there is still a guaranteed 30,000 rand for the player with the closest predictions each week. So, could that be you? Visit www.superpicks.com today and start predicting. SuperPicks. Play for free. Win for real.
Okay, all right. I guess let's show the people at home how it's actually done. We've got 6 fixtures for the week.
Yeah.
But we have to also tell you about the one fixture that has been postponed, and that is Orlando Pirates up against Royal AM in the DStv Premiership. That's because Pirates are busy with continental duty. And when that happens, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Before we get into our picks, when that happens, it is a game in a round, a Super Picks round, that has either been postponed or delayed or you know, cancelled, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Because that game has been void, or it will be considered void, the prize money goes from R1 million to R100,000.
Yeah, it drops to 100,000. But I mean, it's still 100,000 that
you didn't have.
I'd take 100,000 any day. You know, so unfortunately, because of their continental duties, the game has been postponed. So the prize money this week, it's not forever, guys. It's not forever. Just for this week, it's 100,000.
Yeah.
But next week again, assuming that there won't be any games abandoned, we'll be back to the R1 million prize money.
Okay. All right. So let's get into some of these picks then. Let me start with you, Lemmy.
Yeah.
You are
Liverpool
having
and Spurs.
A go at Liverpool and Spurs.
Liverpool and Spurs. Yeah. I think it'll definitely swing Liverpool's way, because they're fighting harder to take their chances at winning the league title. But not to take away from Spurs, because they've been playing a great game. Son has been on great form. Kane, you know, on paper Kane is very great, but I would say there's some games where he disappoints.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't come as the Kane that we expect to come. But I think they will definitely put on a solid fight, because they're also trying to contend for fourth place.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting game, but I think definitely Liverpool will take it. I think it'll be like a 3-2 score.
Okay, the question is, Kane, is he able?
She's about to drop a bomb.
That is the question. Kaizer Chiefs finally won a game of football yesterday.
Yeah.
But they've got the champions coming up.
They've got the champions coming up for a lot of people waiting for that guard of honor because at the beginning of the season, Chiefs supporters saying, hey, we're going to get the guard of honor the other way around.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to be an interesting one. As you mentioned, the first win for Kaizer Chiefs of this year at home. So for them, having turned that around, they're hoping that they will continue with that good vein of form against Mamelodi Sundowns. But let's not forget, as I mentioned at the beginning, for Mamelodi Sundowns, it's about breaking their own record. Mm. You know, it's all wrapped up. Mm. It's a dead rubber for them. So, you've got Peter Shalulile, who's looking to break a record himself. So, that's what it's about. But for Kaizer Chiefs, it literally is about trying to get into, you know, that top two finish. Even though Coach Atazwane had said it's a slim chance, but they are trying to work towards
your super.
My prediction.
First one.
3-1.
I was going to say 3-1 to Sundowns. I think it'll probably be 3-1 to Sundowns.
I would get behind that very, very easily.
A brace for Peter Shalulile, a goal from Audrey Modiba, and Angazi on the other side.
On goal. Okay, while we have a look at all the rest of the other ones up next, okay, I think I was going to do Arsenal and Leeds.
Arsenal and Leeds.
Okay, let's give, we'll give Arsenal a 3-0 win. Bukayo Saka involved there, Martinelli involved there,
uniform as well.
Maybe Odegaard from outside the box as well.
What's the score?
Oh, I said 3-0.
I'm doing City Newcastle. Yeah. Look, it's a tie that City has dominated over the past seasons. So easy win for City. I'd put it at 3-1. It's still going to be a competitive one because I think Newcastle are on, you know, resurgence. But yeah, 3-1 to City.
Finally, Temba.
I'm doing the Chelsea and Wolves game. Mm. Chelsea in the last 5 games have won 2 and lost. They've won 2 and lost 3. Not in good form as things stand. I think there's turmoil at the club with uncertainty with the owners, as well as uncertainty with the players themselves, with the coach. I mean, the Everton, they lost their game 1-0. I was surprised to see their multi-million pound shiny striker on the bench, Romelu Lukaku. That tells me that it's a bit of discord.
Let that guy go.
There's no connection.
Yeah.
So let him go. Nonetheless, if I let my answer go, it's a 1-1 draw.
1-0 draw.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the bridge.
All right. So that is how you actually go about doing Super Picks. Again, it's very simple. Don't have to put any money in, but you can win a whole lot of money out of it as well. Remember, this week it's 100,000 rand. That's
100,000
rand. There's only 5 fixtures that are available. And on that note, that is Super True. Back and at it. See you guys next week, same time, same place.
Yeah.
Cheers for now.
Yeah.
With the Ultimate Sport app from Supersport, you can find whatever you're looking for, because we've got you covered.
Brilliant! Just brilliant!
And you can then watch it again and again. Download the Supersport app.